Grizzly One.
Two young people decided to form their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets. When you see them, you get a nice, secure feeling in your heart.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WAPC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New Yorker.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today? Why? And what's next? Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour of 5, yours truly, Curtis Sliwa, again taking you home on your Drive at 5. And whether you're wrestling with all the choices you have in terms of mass transit in the tri-state area, especially with the diversions taking place with New Jersey Transit Connections and the LIRR, or continued subway service interruptions, or if you happen to be getting back into your car or your van or your pickup truck and you're tuning us back in on your terrestrial radio, or you're listening to us on the WABC app or streaming audio or on your worktop computer, it is my job to connect you with what is transpiring live and locally, as that is our focus. And this mayor, Comrade Bill de Blasio, your mayor, not mine, I didn't vote for him the first time around, who is intent on bum-rushing his way into a second term of office, another 4 years, over my dead body, has returned from Hamburg, Germany, where he was a featured speaker at a rally that was involved in attacking capitalism, globalism, the G20 leaders who assembled there from all over the world, and most importantly, the public safety officials and the police officers in Hamburg who were trying to keep the peace against the rabble-rousers, the Molotov cocktail throwers, and the anarchists who were storming the barricades. In fact, here is Comrade Bill de Blasio, as he spoke about why he went to Hamburg.
I was invited by the government of Hamburg. They invited me as a colleague. They wanted, I think, to represent the fact that there are a variety of views in the United States on how to proceed on the big issues that face this planet.
And then he talked about the announcement of how this trip came about.
The announcement of the trip was going to be a few days earlier. The invitation came in something like 10, 12 days ago. We were going to announce it earlier in the week, and then, of course, we had the horrible shooting of Officer Familia, and it was important to focus on that. You know, obviously, I did not want to do anything until we knew when the services would be, and her services will be early next week, so then that's when it was finally time to announce that I was going to accept this invitation.
I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out, Mayor de Blasio. That's bull feathers. In fact, there's a special unit at One Police Plaza, Police Department headquarters, that handles all these arrangements whenever a police officer is shot and killed in the line of duty. It's the ceremonial unit. They do other things, obviously, all throughout the course of the year. But when all of a sudden a family has been traumatized, as in this case, single woman raising three children, with extended family members, some who are living here in New York City, others who are back in the DR, the Dominican Republic, they come together and they try to put together everything for the family's sake. The wake arrangements, the church arrangements, understanding that when a police officer is killed in the line of duty, there are going to be so many people coming from different parts to pay homage, to pay respect to the person who gave of their life. There are police officers who have flown in from all distant parts of North America, some internationally, in order to attend the wake today. The first viewing is finished from 2 to 4. That was at the World Changers Church, right near 188th in the Grand Concourse, just a block south of Fordham Road. And then there'll be the evening session. That's the one I'll be attending from 7 to 9. And hopefully some of you out there, if you're in proximity, can attend to pay your last respects. Tomorrow it's the funeral mass and then the burial that will follow. But this ceremonial unit guides a family and a person in establishing the days and the times of the visits. And normally when a police officer is shot and killed in the line of duty, it's 2 days of viewing the body, 2 days of awake, and then whatever the religious ceremony followed by the burial. This has been truncated down to a day of viewing the body and paying respect. And it is my view, based on people that I've spoke to at one police plaza, that they could have easily have had the wake on Saturday and Sunday with the burial that would have been taking place today after the mass. But for the benefit of Comrade Bill de Blasio, who had already made these plans to go to Hamburg, Germany, to be the keynote speaker for the rabble-rousers, the anarchists, those who are protesting capitalism, globalism, and the leaders of the world who had assembled for G20, including Donald Trump, it was clear that that was the priority on his agenda. It wasn't to stay behind in New York City and attend the memorial that was held at the 4-6 precinct on Ryer Avenue the other night in the Bronx, where hundreds attended. It should have been his job to go from precinct to precinct throughout the Bronx, which has actually had a crime increase unlike the other boroughs, and to show solidarity with the men and women in uniform, to let them know that he's supporting their efforts, that in fact he's going to make sure that the bulletproof glass gets put into their vehicles el rapido and not delay, as he did back when officers Lou and Ramos were killed in somewhat a similar fashion, except in the Bedford-Stuyvesant section of Brooklyn, when a crazed gunman came all the way up after pounding the hound from Baltimore and shot them right through their car window as they were on patrol. Eventually, he was taken out. That was back in 2014. And you remember what resulted from that? There was the first wake that occurred in Bensonhurst, and that was for Officer Lou. Remember how police officers, in tandem, turned their back on the mayor, and rightfully so. And then the following funeral and wake that occurred in the Ridgewood section of Queens for police officer Rafael Ramos. Remember, there was a similar event in which police officers had determined that because they had been disrespected, that they would disrespect this mayor who attended both of those events. And I think it's come full circle again. This mayor has shown absolutely jack diddly squat, no respect for the NYPD, no respect for the men and women who serve in the line of duty, and certainly none for their fallen comrade by abandoning ship and deciding to go to Hamburg and stand next to the anarchists and the bomb throwers and those who were attacking police and public safety officials as he was decrying capitalism and globalism. And how ironic, this mayor who spends his Friday afternoons at Toto's, the gin mill in the Slope, his favorite neighborhood, Park Slope, dialing for dollars, whining, dining, and pocket lining, calling fat cat contributors on Wall Street, calling realtors, having others assemble outside and sit patiently while they come and sit at the table and make deals for the campaign contributions that they'll make for his reelection. And think also of this mayor who was so disrespectful of his father that he renounced his German-American roots when he was growing up in Cambridge, Massachusetts, right before making his pilgrimage to New York City, where he was going to seek political office. Not back in his hometown, but rather in New York City. His father, his name was Warren Wilhelm. He was asked about this on his trip to Hamburg, and then all of a sudden, all of the German-American qualities that he had been born with seemed to have been reborn in him. But he never told the story of how he had renounced his father by stripping his name. You see, Comrade Bill de Blasio's real name is Warren Wilhelm Jr. His father had served in the American Army in the Pacific, had been in the Battle of Okinawa for 82 days. 200,000 people were lost in total. His father won the Purple Heart as he lost part of a leg in a grenade explosion. And when he came back to America, obviously, like so many men who have fought in previous conflicts, came back with certain mental instabilities that plagued him the rest of his life. And so Warner Wilhelm Jr., a.k.a. Bill de Blasio, no longer liked this guy and decided he would strip his name and he would take the name of his mother, the maiden name de Blasio. By the way, his siblings, none of whom stripped their name, they grew up in the same household with the same father, with the same set of circumstances. It was only Bill de Blasio, and it was for a calculated reason. It wasn't because he hated his father or his father had done him wrong. It said he was coming to New York City to run for office, and having a German-American last name was not thought to be conducive for election. An Italian name, obviously, would have a different impact. And yet, isn't it ironic that the president of the United States, born and raised in New York City, has a German name, Trump? But the point being is, that's why he made that decision. That's why the decision was made to push back the wake and the funeral, so that Bill de Blasio could join the rabble-rousers in Hamburg, instead of attend to his duties, which would have been to sit here in New York City and act like a mayor and not abandon ship. So I'm calling upon all police officers, whether you happen to be attending from out of state, whether you're on duty, off duty, whether you're retired, that if the mayor actually goes to the wake tonight and you happen to be present, as I'll be present, right on the Grand Concourse at the World Changers Church, or definitely tomorrow when he'll be at the high funeral mass and the burial that will follow, please turn your backs on this mayor, as he has turned his back on you many, many times as a cop hater. Someone who has sown the seeds of distrust of the police department, the very police department that he said he honored earlier today with a visit to the slain police officer's family in the Kingbridge section of the Bronx. Please, I beg you, I beseech you. I know you've been warned. I know there have been memorandums issued that there'll be a hell of a price to pay. The brass are telling you, don't dare turn your backs on this mayor, or job assignments will be curtailed. Your ability to go on vacation, even pay restrictions may occur. Show chutzpah. Don't let this mayor kowtow you through his subordinates in the police department. Turn your backs on a man who has turned his backs on you time and time again and on the people of New York City.
Curtis Sliwa.
He's a man of the people.
Between the Scylla and Charybdis of commentary.
The Drive at 577 WABC.
Imagine that. 524, the House of Nash, the Queensbridge Project's largest in the city, right in the shadow of the 59th Street Bridge. Also the home of a lot of infamous rappers, Capone, Noriega, the basketball player Ron Artest, and the Blood Street Gang. It's a huge project. It had a family day this past Saturday, like a lot of public housing projects have this time of year. And one of the invited guests was the Democratic candidate for mayor, challenging Bill de Blasio in the upcoming primary, former councilman, former mayoral candidate Sal Albanese, who also has the Reform Party nod, so he'll be in the general election. Thanks for joining us again here on the Drive Home at 5, Sal.
Great to be on, Curtis. Always great to be on your program.
So I see that you attended Family Day. You were there to give a speech, a presentation, and then all of a sudden you finished. And what happened when you came outside?
Well, my car was gone. I went back to where I parked it, and it wasn't there. It was kind of a shock because I've never, even though I've lived in the city most of my life and had a car, I've never had a car stolen or disappearing like that. It was pretty traumatic. I looked around, and sure enough, I got caught up in the bureaucratic morass that most New Yorkers get involved with whenever they have to deal with issues, especially around transportation, whether it's on the train or finding a parking spot and then finding out your car disappears. It's still a mystery. The car was found the next day, a couple of blocks away. The police said they had to relocate some vehicles because of the event, but I was not in that perimeter. I was outside the perimeter of the event. So I called 311 to find out if my car was towed, and they told me it wasn't. I called again a couple of hours later, so I assumed it was stolen. So I took the subway home. And, of course, the subway on weekends, as you know, Curtis, is hard to navigate. So I got dealing with a lot of issues that most New Yorkers deal with on a regular basis. And it keeps you in touch with what's going on. And as the mayor, I wanted to see if we can facilitate those things and make sure that people don't have to go through hell just to get around this town.
Well, Sal, what was the make and model of the car that you came out of the Family Day celebration in the Queensbridge Projects to no longer find? What was the year?
It was my wife's vehicle. It's a 10-year-old Honda Fit with two baby seats in the back because of my grandkids. So I don't know, you know, obviously why anybody would want to steal a vehicle like that.
I got to tell you, Sal, if it was stolen, obviously it wasn't. It would have been for the parts. 10-year-old Honda. Oh, the chop shops along Northern Boulevard would have been salivating for those parts.
Yeah, well, it was, as I said, you pointed out what I thought was the problem. And then a reporter from Channel 4 the next day, when I'm doing a press conference on the radios that don't work at Penn Station, informed me that the police department said they located my vehicle on in a couple of blocks away from the Queensbridge houses. So it was moved. No one knows why it was moved. We're still trying to find that out.
Sal, you're a pro. You've been at this a long time as a member of the city council, a member of the Democratic Party. You were in the house of Joe Crowley, you're the Queens corrupt Democratic machine. You were there trying to beat their guy in the primary, Bill de Blasio. Don't you realize that they're not going to take kindly to the fact that you're challenging the mayor in his own party's primary?
Oh, no doubt about that. There's a lot of you could feel the tension when you run into the regular machine politicians. When you're a reformer, you can feel the tension, and we're beginning to gain some momentum, which is great, because I think de Blasio has been a terrible mayor and he needs to be defeated. And as you know, the political class, They gather around each other, even if they don't like each other. So they don't want people that are reformers who really want to clean up government in a position of influence.
Now, Sal, question. You had tweeted out when the mayor decided at the last second to leave New York City after the police officer was shot and killed in the Bronx. You had tweeted out that he was an asshole. And I noticed a lot of people were like high-fiving that, saying, yeah, that Sal Albanese is absolutely right. You hit the bullseye on that.
Well, a lot of people said that I said what they were thinking. I don't usually use that kind of language, but I'm just exasperated by de Blasio, how a mayor of New York City, with all the problems that we have, homelessness at record numbers, build it back over budget, mental health budget, which is loaded with waste, and of course a police officer is assassinated, and the new police officers are being sworn in the following day. You know what they're thinking, right? Oh my God, you know, one of our people got killed. I'm going into that job. They would love to see the city's leader. They should have the city's leader to uplift them the next day. Instead, he takes off and goes on a junket to Germany, to hang out with other folks that are involved in protesting capitalism, and to hang out with his son. Well, I mean, it's just to me incredible. So I got so angry at that I tweeted that out.
Isn't it amazing, Sal, that as you compete against Mayor de Blasio in his own party's primary, the Democratic primary, you're not taking contributions from real estate developers. He takes not only money from real estate developers, hedge fund individuals, Wall Street contributors, the very people he went over to Hamburg to protest against, and yet he wines, dines, and pocket lines them here in trying to become mayor again.
It's amazing. The hypocrisy is staggering, because you're right. 65% of his money comes from big real estate developers and lobbyists, and he's over there in Germany attacking, you know, the 1%, I guess. It's an amazing, amazing feat of, it's quite a balancing act, but New Yorkers are beginning to get wise to de Blasio. It's quite clear to anyone that follows the guy, he's really not interested in the job of mayor. I mean, people in the city want a mayor who's hands-on, who cares about mass transit, who cares about making sure that the bureaucracy is easy to navigate for people. We have homelessness at a record level. Yesterday at Penn Station, it was stunning, the number of mentally ill homeless that I saw around the station. And we find out on Saturday that he's spending $1 billion on mental health, and it's not targeted to the people who severely need treatment, like these folks that are on the street. It's unbelievable. De Blasio's When you hear the word mismanagement, de Blasio pops right up.
I much prefer your tweet that he's an asshole, but if people would like to be able to help your campaign, particularly since you're primarying him as a Democrat, what is your website?
It's voteforsal.com. Voteforsal.com. I would hope people would go there and help us. We really need donations from average people to take this guy on, because he has a mountain of special interest money. But we're gaining momentum, and I'm urging people to go to my website. Even if you live outside the city and you come into the city a lot, it's important. Quality of life in the city is important. So I urge all of the people that are listening to go to my website, voteforsal.com. And also remember, I am the Reform Party candidate in November as well, which stands for...
Well, that means, it means you're in it for the whole nine yards. So, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, you've got quite a few candidates that are nipping at the heels of Comrade Bill de Blasio, and rightfully so, over my dead body. He should become mayor again. Let's put him back to being the part-time mayor, the dope from Park Slope, living in his house on 11th Street.
Curtis Sliwa.
The next mayor of the city of New York.
The Drive at 5.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New Yorker.
77 WABC.
From the wonderful world of sports, we bring you Home Run Derby, where each week the leading home run hitters of the major leagues will compete in a home run hitting contest.
Oh, it's
you'll
great.
Meet such stars.
And as a kid,
Duke Snyder,
watch it a half hour.
Eddie Matthews.
And you'd see Eddie Matthews, Duke Snyder, Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays, and they would compete against one another. It was a half-hour program dedicated to just watching these guys knock the rawhide out of the park. And then Major League Baseball adapted it years ago to its All-Star Classic. On the line to discuss it, Sid Rosenberg. As you know, he starts off your day from 6 to 9 doing sports and commentary with Imus in the morning. And then he's the co-host of Bernie and the Sid Show that follows from 9 to 12. Thanks for jumping on board again, Sid.
You know I love coming on this show, Curtis, and it's a pretty exciting time down in my former hometown, Miami, where tonight they'll hit home runs, and tomorrow we'll play the All-Star Classic.
All right, now in the home run derby, are they giving steroid tests before the guys actually take their swings?
They should, especially for the guy that we've grown to love here in New York, your guy number 99, Curtis, Aaron Judge. But I got to tell you, people are very excited about the top two seeds. Don't forget, eight guys go tonight, two guys from the hometown Marlins, one being Giancarlo Stanton. He's the one seed. The other, the seven seed, Justin Bour. First round, Justin Bour goes up against Aaron Judge. And then the Yankee other guy, Gary Sanchez, goes up against Stanton. So both Yankees going up against both Marlins in the first round. I would say this, the guy to watch tonight, Curtis, the three seed going up against Charlie Blackman from Colorado. That's the Dodger rookie, Cody Bellinger. This guy could rake it. So people are talking Stanton. He's the favorite. People are talking Aaron Judge. But keep your eye on the three seed Dodger rookie, Cody Bellinger. Very exciting player.
Yeah, but, you know, Logan Morrison of the Tampa Bay Rays should have been in this contest. He's got an incredible number of home runs this year. Any question why all of a sudden Sanchez, the Yankee catcher, was in it? Did you agree with his observation?
Well, there's no doubt. Logan Morrison, I think, has 24 or 25 home runs. I think Gary Sanchez has 13 or 14. Logan had that a month ago. Curtis, there's about 20 guys in baseball with more home runs than Gary Sanchez. But, listen, we know he came on the scene in a big way late last year. He captured the heart of Yankee fans way before Aaron Judge. And that Yankee catcher position, as you know, going back even before Thurman Munson, is always a special position. And let's face it, fans in Miami, they want to see Yankee players, not Tampa Bay Ray players. So even though Logan's got the better numbers, there are a million Yankee fans down in Miami and across the country. So I know why a guy like Gary Sanchez makes it, even though his numbers say he shouldn't be there.
Okay, so why are home runs flying out of ballparks at a record pace, and yet the number of strikeouts are going up, up, and up?
Yeah, because guys are swinging for the fences. I mean, look at the strikeout numbers for guys like Corey Kluber in Cleveland, just amazing. Clayton Kershaw in Los Angeles. I think there's three reasons why, Curtis, home runs are going out of the park at such an amazing rate. One is the balls are different. Believe it or not, these are those juice balls again that we saw years ago in the early Ken Caminiti era. I think the bats are different. So I think Major League Baseball has made the tools, the balls and the bats, easier to hit home runs. And while I think guys are not doing, let's say, anabolic steroids, I would test all these guys for HGH. They'll all be dirty. So all I'm saying is These guys are one step ahead of the chemistry. You know that, Curtis. So they can't do maybe, Deca, or they can't do, Trembling. But they're doing something. They look too big. They're too strong guys like Aaron Judge. So I go balls, bats, and all these guys remain ahead of the chemistry.
All right. I want your commentary because when you mention a big guy, that's El Jefe, Shamu, Chris Christie, the governor. Who's substituting over for your favorite talk show host at The Fan, Mike Francesa. And I'm just going to give you a flavor of him going at it with a caller earlier today.
Governor, next time you want to sit on a beach that is closed to the entire world except you,
Yeah. You
put your fat ass in a car and go to one that's open to all your constituents. Not just you and yours.
Interesting, Mike. You know what?
What's that, Gov?
You know, Mike, I love getting calls from communists in Montclair.
Communists in Montclair.
You know,
you're a bully, Governor, like bullies.
You know what?
Just a little bit of the flavor. What did you think of that?
First of all, you have to know that Mike from Montclair is a longtime caller to WFAN, but he's become more famous, Curtis, the last couple of years, calling in as Sour Shoes. That's the guy who does all the impressions when he calls into our station and FAN. He does me, he does Imus, he does Mike and the Mad Dog, he does all those guys. That's actually Sour Shoes calling in. I'd say Christie handled that well, but that's the problem. That's why a guy like Chris Christie will never get that job in a million years, despite what people are writing on the internet, because FAN knows half the audience is going to hate him. All of New Jersey hates him. They cannot afford to lose any listeners, let alone all the Democrats and all the people in New Jersey. So while it's fun and exciting, he's on today, he'll be back tomorrow, and he handled that call well. There's no way in a million years FAN will put somebody that polarizing, a politician, on that station full time. So anybody who says yes, they have no idea what they're talking about.
What is that? So you mean I don't know what I'm talking about, because you couldn't be more hopelessly wrong on this, Sid Rosenberg. I've listened to a lot of sports talk radio in my life, and I actually felt that he was engaging. I wish that Evan Roberts, his sidekick, would have just disappeared and got lost in the little boys' room. Because I thought Chris Christie was giving good color. He was telling good stories. He was engaging the callers. And that given a few more shows under his belt solo, he could take Francesa's job because he's got a lot of what Francesa has in him.
Yeah, he's a big jerk, and he's fat, and he's a bully. You're right. He's exactly like Mike Francesa. Listen, I agree with you. He is entertaining, and he did engage with the callers. He's actually very, very funny, too. He's got all that going for him. But again, he's so polarizing as a politician. FAN's not going to put him on every single day. Look, he's got the blessings, as you know, of the morning show, Boomer Esiason and Craig Carton. They love Chris Christie, so he's got their blessings. I think Chernoff likes him. But again, too risky to put a politician on. He'll be good today, good tomorrow. He will not get the job.
Oh, by the way, if you happen to be going to the Brooklyn Cyclones game this Friday, it's the Sid Rosenberg, Curtis Sliwa night. We're going to be in the stands. We're going to be throwing out the first ball, right?
Yes, we're going to throw out the first pitch on Friday night. It's very, very exciting. Curtis, of course, you're a Brooklyn boy. I'm a Brooklyn boy. I can tell you already on my social media, people are ABC listeners and FAN listeners, very excited to meet you and I at the park on Friday. They do a great job. By the way, 14 players on the Mets right now played for the Brooklyn Cyclones at some point. They should probably go back between you and I, but the truth is that is seeing the Mets' future up close and personal with Curtis and Sid Friday night on the beach in Coney Island.
Do appreciate that, Sid Rosenberg. And for me, it proves I'm a masochist because I hate, I loathe, I despise everything about the Mets.
Curtis Lewa.
Really trying to help our cause.
The Drive at 5.
We're very honored to have him here today.
77 WABC.
All right, 56. Oh, tomorrow we debut on this, The Drive Home at 5, a special series about hookers from hell. And guess who got that plum assignment? Our own Noam Layden, our news director and host of the morning show that sets it off for all of you from 5 to 6 before Imus comes on with his crew in the morning. Thanks for joining us again here, Noam.
Thank you. Yeah, I got it all. I got to meet Lucy the escort, who's making $300 an hour. And she tells me her life story, which is actually really fascinating, including, Curtis, how she knows that sometime she won't be able to you know, bring the clients in like she does now. She's 32 years old. She's, if you see the pictures of her, she's pretty hot. And so she's got no problem bringing in the clients in. So I ask her, I say, hey, what happens 10 years from now when you're 42 and the men aren't as interested as they are now? What's going to happen? She goes, I'm ready for that. And I said, how? And she goes, I've been investing in pharmaceuticals on the Wall Street and, you know, on the market for the last 7 or 8 years. And she goes through all the pharmaceutical products that she had invested in and how much money she's made in each one. And I was like, whoa. I could see she wasn't faking me out. She was for real.
Now, were you trying to get a shot of leg from her?
No. You know, I had my day. You know, the reason I'm so interested in this is, of course, because, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I myself was a male gigolo. You know that. So I know what it's like to, you know, make money on the streets. And so I wanted to see what it was like now, 10 years later.
Well, guess what? It starts tomorrow night on the drive home at 5. That's right. Noam Layden giving you an idea of what it's like out on the streets when you're a hustler, a gigolo, or a prostitute taking you around the world in just 18 seconds.